This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, December 30th, 2018, the Feast of the Holy Family, by Father William Doc Holliday.
Whoever honors his father atones for sins. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Generally, and rightfully, when we come to the Feast of the Holy Family, we often hear a homily on how we should structure our temporal families in accord and the example of the Holy Family. This is absolutely imperative. It is absolutely of the utmost importance. But there is something that is more important, and that is to understand that there is a spiritual component to this thing. Structuring our families in this world is, as I said, of the utmost importance. But even more importantly is to heed the words of our Lord through the prophet when he says, whoever honors his father and mother atones for sins. If we honor our parents, we are doing ourselves a service. It is meritorious for us. It is not a suggestion. It is not something that really pious people do. It is a commandment of God. The first three commandments that we have in the list of the ten, the first three commandments tend directly to God. It is how we relate to Him. There is just, I am God, you will do this, and that is it. The next seven, they tend toward how we relate to other people in this world. And it starts out with honoring your father and mother. There are a couple different places in the scriptures, Exodus and Deuteronomy specifically, where the Ten Commandments are laid out. There is never a deviation in order of the commandments. As I said, the first three direct to God, the last seven, how we relate to others, and primacy as to how we relate to others starts with how we honor our father and our mother. Notice the commandment is not love your family members. It doesn't say that. It doesn't say love your father and mother. It says honor your father and mother. This is where we start to understand how important it is to God that we honor our parents. I said it doesn't say love. Why? Because for one thing, love means a bunch of different things to a bunch of different people. Love is a very subjective word. It depends on context. It depends on definition. It depends on our subjective understanding of what is love. Is this an emotional feeling? Is what? No. Generally, when we speak of love, it is translated from the Latin caritas. It is charity. The older English versions, charity. When we hear the word charity, it's not so much abstract. It is a word that means you do something. Generally, for us, unfortunately, it may give something to someone else. But yeah, that's okay, because it is an active sort of love. That is the kind of love we're supposed to show to our parents, but is encompassed in honor. God does not use words arbitrarily. He uses them specifically. Why does he say honor and not love? He says honor because love, caritas, charity, is encompassed under the umbrella of honor. You can't honor something and not show an active love toward it. Not an emotional love, but an active love toward it. Honor also just doesn't leave it at love. Love is an aspect of honor. There are a couple other things that we're supposed to do for our parents that fall under honor and not necessarily under love. and that is respect and reverence. If you just say love, you don't necessarily have to respect, you don't have to necessarily love someone to respect them. I was in the Marine Corps. Don't respect someone who is your superior and see what happens. You go out of your way to respect people. People will call from across the street and have you respect them. You didn't salute me. I respected everybody that was my superior in the Marine Corps, but I did not necessarily love them. Okay? I didn't like some of them, much less. But I respected them because there's a consequence to not respecting them. So you can respect people and not necessarily love them. Reverence. Another military analogy. Uses one frequently because it drives the point home and most people understand. The Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. There is a lot of reverence shown at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. I mean, if you punch it up on YouTube, it's actually kind of comical to watch sometimes because during the changing of the guard at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier, there are YouTube videos where it actually shows the commander of the guard dressing down people in the audience because they're laughing, talking, they're irreverent. What is the tomb? The Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. There's this tremendous amount of gravity and respect and reverence given to a tomb of people we don't know who they are. So that shows us that reverence can be given to someone you don't even know, much less love. When our Lord says, honor your father and mother, He is taking all of these things into consideration. That's what I command you. That's what I demand of you as my people, to honor your father and mother. It's that important. This is where we start to go down the road as to why is it that important. Because your parents, hold on, wait for it. Your parents are next only to God. You don't know my parents. You don't know what he did to me. You don't know how she acted. You don't know how they are. You're right. I don't know that part of it, but I do know that they are next only to God because of some very objective things. They are next only to God, and this is why honoring them atones for sin. It doesn't matter how they act, what they do, what they have done, what they may continue to do. It atones for sin because our parents are a worldly manifestation of our relationship with God our Father spiritually. They are a very picture of our origin. Most of us, at least a little bit, resemble our parents in some way or another. It's kind of interesting if you meet someone and you hear the way they laugh or the way they speak, you know, the little inflections in their voice, and you meet their parents, it's like, it sounds just like him. They are a picture of our origin. But it's not just that. It is the fact that we have received existence from them. It was because of their union, no matter what the situation may have been. Through their union, we received our existence. You are sitting here right now worshiping the eternal God, the triune God, through the person of his Son, Jesus Christ, hopefully in faith and obedience. And you're doing so because you have received existence from these people in this world, your parents. God used that union where you received your existence to infuse a soul into you. He used their act of union because you don't get your soul from your parents. You don't get half a soul from your dad and half a soul from your mom. You get your soul from God. When your parents came together and you were conceived, at the point of conception, God infused a soul and reason into your being. And that's why you are here now. You have cooperated with the grace of God, and you are here. It doesn't matter where they are, but we have to honor them for the fact that what they have done has brought you here. This is why it is so important to God, and it is an atonement for your sins when you do right by them. And that right by them is to honor them. Like I said, there are a whole lot of people who have a whole lot of issues with their parents, one, the other, or both. These individuals do not lose their character of being parents because of their frailty, no matter how gross that frailty may be. They don't lose their character of parents because of their lack. You know, most of us who know our faith, you know, the priesthood, it's a good example. I always emphasize in baptisms, when that child comes in, he is not a child of God, he is not in the church, he's actually an enemy of God, and through baptism, they are objectively changed. They are ontologically different beings when they leave this church after the baptism. Holy orders is the same thing, but we all understand that. When a man is ordained to the priesthood, he receives authority of God and of the church, our mother, to do things that other people cannot do objectively. I can dress you up. I can teach you the words. You can say them verbatim. You can say them better than I do. But if you're not ordained to the priesthood and you come up here and you say all the words and you're dressed up, guess what? After you say the words, bread and wine are still, guess what, at the altar, bread and wine. If a man is ordained to the priesthood and says the words and intends to do what the church does, bread and wine become divinity. They become the body, soul, blood, and divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what they become. It never goes away. You know, most of us are aware of situations, and many of us are aware of individuals who have been laicized. They were priests. Well, he was a priest, but now he's not. No, he is still a priest. Laicization just means that that man does not exercise his priestly ministry. Okay? He is not bound by the promises that he made to his bishop. However, if you get hit by a bus or you're on your deathbed in the hospital and a laicized priest walks down the hallway or down the sidewalk, he is canonically able and should give you the last rites because you are an extremist and he is a priest. It changes. It doesn't matter who he is. It doesn't matter if you come to Mass and the most heinous individual on the face of this planet is celebrating Mass. If he intends to do what the church does, uses the proper form, matter, and all the other things that make a sacrament valid, you're receiving the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ. He can go out and rob a bank afterwards or have done so beforehand. You still receive the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Savior because he's a priest. Applies to your parents. It doesn't matter who they are or what they've done. It's the character of being a parent that demands this honor because they have done those things that I listed before and manifested our relationship with God in this world. They are truly next only to God in that respect, not because of their character. The reading today, and again, I would actually submit to you, and I'm not going to banter about this. If you look at your bulletins, it says, Sirach chapter 3, it begins at verse 2, and these verses are left out, and this it ends here. Go home and read verses 1 through 18, and you get the picture of this idea of parents. And in that, it says, even if he is lacking in understanding, which happens to a lot of parents as they get older, or in the way they approach the church or our Lord, even if he is lacking in understanding, show forbearance, for kindness to a father will not be forgotten, and against your sins it will be credited to you. The second time the Holy Spirit has spoken through this author that says that your sins will be atoned if you honor your parents, no matter what their frailty may be. When we do things for our parents, as they get older, the alms that we give them, because as they get older, sometimes they haven't managed things properly, and you have to give of your earthly substance. The alms that you give them, the sacrifices that you make for them, sacrifices of time, sacrifices of opportunity. I could do this if I didn't have to worry about mom. I could do this if I didn't have to worry about dad or both of them. I could be living this. I could go on vacations. I could get this job and transfer somewhere, but I can't because I'm bound. Those sacrifices are to your merit. They atone for your sins. This is not even to mention the prayers that you should be offering for them. Yeah. Like I hear it a lot. My parents, guess what? They need prayers more than anybody then, if they're that bad. Almsgiving, prayers, sacrifices for your parents, they are for your benefit. They're for your benefit because they benefit them. And God wants you to honor them. God's very specific about this. In 1 John chapter 4, St. John the Divine, he writes under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, "He who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen." Brother there does not mean your male sibling. It means other people. Your brother, your neighbor. If you don't love him, and notice that doesn't mean, as I said before, the syrupy emotionalism, like you want him to have him hang out with them or have him over your house. Okay, not necessarily. But we have charity toward them. If they are in want, we do for them. We don't let anything happen to them. Because as long as any individual on the face of this planet is taking an air, it doesn't matter who they are, what they've done, how they're living, they still bear the image of Christ. And there is still opportunity for their salvation. And when they bear the image of Christ, you need to honor that image, not the person necessarily. It harkens back to the Marine Corps analogy I used before. You don't respect the individual, you respect the rank that he has and the position that they hold. These are the things we have to understand. If God is that specific about just our general charity toward others, how much more for those who have given you existence, those who have given you life? There are a tremendous amount of blessings associated with this. Our Lord, as it says, he honors parents above children. Young ones, sorry. God honors your parents more than you. Okay? Because they have exhibited in this world what he exhibits in everyone's life. So he honors parents above children. So, if it is his will and you young ones have children, you will be honored over them. It's a you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours kind of proposition. We have to appreciate that. He honors parents above children. It is for the atonement of sins. As I've said, the Holy Spirit emphasized that twice. It says that we lay up treasures and merit in heaven every time you do something for your parents. Okay? This is the first commandment. As I said, it takes primacy over all the other commandments that relate to our dealings with others. It takes primacy, and it is the first commandment with a promise. The other ones that even you would think that those that tend directly toward God would have a promise. I'm the Lord your God. You should love me with all your heart, soul, and mind. And if you do it, you'll get this. No, I'm God. You just do it. Thus I have commanded. This is the first commandment where there's a promise attached to it. If you do this, you'll have a long life. Oh, excellent. I'm going to be nice to my parents because I'll live to be 80 or 85, 90 years old. Long life, like eternal life. This is one of the stepping stones toward eternal life as to how you have related to your parents. Because if you did relate properly to them, you did not relate properly toward the manifestation of this world of what God has done for you. And it strengthens our families in this world. If you honor your parents, particularly if outwardly they don't deserve it, if you do it, what a testimony it is to your siblings, to your children. It sets the stage. It sets the tone for how we are supposed to work. And when the question arises, I can't believe you do this for them, it is because they this and they that, that's my point. Because when that is thrown up, I can't believe you do this. I do it because I want to atone for my own sins. I want to lay up treasures of merit in heaven. That's why I do it. Those are all the blessings that are articulated about honoring your father and mother. As I said, the reading today ended in verse 17. There's a verse 18, and there are no more explicit and direct statements made by God than this one. Whoever forsakes his parents is like a blasphemer, cursed by the Lord. That's kind of up in your face. If you don't honor your parents, you are a blasphemer and you are cursed by the Lord. There's no caveat given right there. You know, a lot of people are overwhelmed. You know, I've seen some looks from some people in the past few masses when I pray, and I go here. Oh my gosh, I'm cursed because I have. Guess what? This is where we learn. This is where we fix things like that. If it's been a problem, you go to the confessional, you confess, you are absolved, and then set your face like flint and do the right thing. There are some people out there who go, I didn't like my parents or a parent. I didn't like them. They're dead, so this doesn't apply to me. Oh, yes, it most certainly does apply to you. Go to confession, confess your lack of honoring your parents, and then start offering masses for them. Every time you come to mass, pray for them, because particularly if they were that bad, if you do something that, if they are in purgatory, could spring their souls from that or give them a little alleviation of what they're enduring because they fell so far short, how much merit will that be for you? So we can fix this. And we should use this as a catalyst to bring us to an understanding of why we should honor them. It doesn't have anything to do per se with them. It has to do with your understanding of who God is and what He has done for you. That's the spiritual aspect of this thing. That is why it's so imperative. Here we come today on the Feast of the Holy Family. And to be sitting in here is to, for the most of us, to understand that we are adopted into the Holy Family. That's our first and foremost family. That's the most important one. But if you're adopted into a family, can you imagine a child that would be adopted into a family in this world and then would not live by the house rules? It would be unthinkable, really. I want to be adopted into this family. We are adopted into the Holy Family. We got to start abiding by the house rules. We have 10 of them, first and foremost. And this is a huge one. Not that any of them are, you don't have to worry about that one. That's a minor commandment. No, they're all important, but this one does take primacy. It takes primacy in how we relate to other people, and it centers on our parents. It's one of the house rules. We're adopted members of the Holy Family. It's not a matter of coming in here and thinking about it on Holy Family Feast Day. It's a matter of living like you are every day of your life. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.